Hello and good afternoon. I want you to know that if you are a normal viewer of Friday with Fran, you're in the right place and on the right day. This is actually hashtag no limits, but I am bringing over my friend Fran from Friday with Fran. So, hey, Fran, how's it going?
You're telling me it's not Friday?
No, it's not. And I know that, you know, sometimes you have trouble with like the days of the week and all that stuff. So I hope I'm not like totally throwing you off right now.
A little bit, but we're gonna power through this.
Okay. So for anyone who is new, I will tell you that, yes, again, you are watching hashtag no limits, and hashtag no limits is about people who society places limits upon, but who have busted through those limits. I'm the host, Shelley Kino. And I believe 100% that what I just said is absolutely true, and that there isn't a better example of that than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. And you kind of can, nope, it's not back there anymore. I thought I had my poster. That was what I used to have up for Friday with Fran. I took it down, where it was the poster that said, "We know who we are, but not who we will be." And that's from Ophelia in Hamlet. So I kind of totally just botched up my opening because I'm so excited to have Fran here. But anyway, you kind of get the idea of what this is. So today, Fran and I, as it says at the bottom, is kind of a crossover event. So we realized that Fran hasn't ever been on hashtag no limits. So we just wanted to bring her on here today and have her talk about the things that have happened to her since she became disabled several years ago, but also that had happened to her children while she was raising them to the adults that they now are. Okay, so give a like, give a shout out, let us know that you're here, all those fun businessy kinds of details. And Fran, you want to tell us what happened to you a few years ago that you became a person with a disability, or do you want to go back farther and kind of lead up to that?
Well, I don't know. I hadn't really thought on it very much, but I'm a mom. How about I just give a brief bio of, I'm a mom to,
two kiddos
who, as Shelley said, are adults, and they have their own unique needs and challenges.
Sorry, mom commented. What are you trying to do? I have enough trouble keeping my day straight. So now you do Friday with Fran on Tuesday? Just trying to keep everybody on their toes, mom.
So glad you're here, mom. So, and now they're adults, but they face some challenges growing up as they tried to assimilate into the quote neurotypical world, and then also just do what was socially expected and acceptable. And, you know, I think I struggled with that even prior to my disability. I'm just going to throw that out there, trying to fit into what was socially acceptable. So then I feel like we pile an extraordinary amount of burden and weight on those who have disabilities. And so that's why I so much enjoy your hashtag no limits, because they're bursting through those. And that is cool. So I have these kiddos and they're doing really well right now. I just have to say my daughter is working. She, in her only job, she's never worked prior, and she's doing really, really well. And she's even training some people in some of the positions. She's working.
That's amazing.
So she works in a local coffee shop. So never say never, because I thought she would never have a job. And here she is bringing home a paycheck. And I'm her mom. So I'm so proud of her. And I just want you to never say never for your child or loved one or someone you know who has special needs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then, so life was powering along and raising these kiddos. And I had
three
jobs. And so I would do a job early in the morning, rush home, shower, change clothes, go to my next job, rush home, change clothes, and go to my other job. So I was doing a really poor job of parenting my kids in the process, and some of that because I was just trying to make ends meet and make sure that I was supporting them financially, but I wasn't always meeting their other needs. But I don't say that to sit here and criticize my parenting. That just is what happened at that time in life. But all of a sudden, that abruptly ended. I was at work, and I had a stroke. And the life I knew stopped. The hamster wheel that was constantly spinning stopped because the life I knew ceased to exist. But it's not all doom and gloom, and that's the great part about it. So much joy and blessings have come out of it that I can't imagine life not as I am now.
That's amazing.
So I had a stroke, and then I went into rehab, and it was a struggle, though, to be patient with myself, because I think people were more patient with me than I was, because I so wanted to be walking, and I so wanted my goals. I remember my goals that I put on my board at rehab was to walk, to return to work, and to drive.
Okay.
Those were my expectations, and I expected them to happen by the time I got out of rehab. Lofty, a little unrealistic, and it didn't happen. And I was devastated. I thought, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I'm not a contributing member to society. How can I do what I'm supposed to do? How can I work my multiple jobs? How can I care for other people? Because my jobs were caring for other people. So how am I going to do that when I can't even care for myself? When I can't even help myself go to the bathroom even? And it was such a struggle. So I discovered it was more of a mental journey that I had to go on to get to where I am now. Yes, there were physical changes that had to happen, and there were physical things that I needed to grow through and to rehab. But so often I've found it's the mental. Does that make sense?
It does. Absolutely.
So have you ever had times like that?
Yeah. But this isn't about me, it's about you.
I know. This is why I was like, oh, this is going to be really different, where it's not give and take as much.
Yeah, because okay. On Friday with Fran, I would have answered that question.
I know.
Yes, so, I've like had times mug? Like that as well. Whenever I feel like I'm struggling with something, or I was just talking to a friend yesterday who has recently had back surgery, and he has to be laid up for quite a bit of time for his recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a go-getter, and he's always moving. And he was talking about how difficult this is. And I said, yeah, I can remember after a major surgery, and they told me that I wouldn't be able to do certain things. And my mind, if you tell me I'm not going to be able to do something, I'm going to prove you wrong. And so I had to very much just say, okay, I have to listen to the doctors. My body isn't what it used to be before the surgery. You know, it might get back to that, but right now it has to heal, and I have to rest, and I have to, you know, mentally do what my body needs to do.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So for me, a lot of times it's grounding myself and coming back to the basics. And for me, that's seeking God's will for my life, and then figuring out what that means, how to accomplish that will, and knowing that He's going to give me the ability to accomplish what He's calling me to do.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's not easy to rest in that, though. It sounds like it should be, because it's his will and his will is perfect. But if you're a mover and a shaker waiting for him and 100% giving into his will is not always easy.
Yeah. There's actually one of the Psalms, "Be still and know that I am God." And I actually have a ring that I got with that on it, because it's a visual reminder of an instruction in the word that I need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do, I want to go. And I don't often take time to think and stop. So I'm finding that my body is still failing and it's still doing random stuff, because the stroke was just, it seems to be like the starting point of my body just deciding that it's no longer going to function as it was in its normal previous capacity.
Okay.
And so I've had this many surgeries.
Seven surgeries.
Next year.
Last year alone.
I don't know what my body's telling me, but I just know that I'm going to keep going and I'm going to keep doing as much as I can and living life to the fullest as much as I can. So I don't know if you saw the picture that we had for this. I don't know if it shows somewhere else besides, but we had me on a horse, and I love to ride horses, and I used to instruct, and I actually instructed following my stroke.
Yes, I did. I don't remember that. Okay.
Yes, I did. And I instructed this many riders.
Okay. Two riders.
And yeah, it was quite the challenge. It was neat, but I realized I couldn't be the hands and feet to move the riders into the positions I knew that they needed to go. I couldn't hold the manipulatives so that they could reach for them or encourage them in that. So I had to learn how to use my words to paint a picture to get what I needed accomplished to help the riders have the fullest lessons possible.
So we need to describe that a little bit more or explain that a little bit more, because I know you're talking about therapeutic, but when you said riders, people may have just been thinking, you know, people doing horse show kind of riders. Just if you could explain a little bit about what you're talking
about. There's something really cool in life. If you ever have opportunity to volunteer at a therapeutic riding center, therapeutic riding center is where horses are used as a medium to give
that simulation of walking.
Simulation of walking and movement to people that may not be able to, like people that are in wheelchairs, or people that may walk with canes and assistive devices. This gives them the freedom to actually feel like walking. And that was the coolest thing when I started riding again following my stroke. I really felt like I was walking. And it was so neat to control the horse and to go at a trot and feel the wind in my face and know that I was in control of this really large animal, and my body was doing things that it might not otherwise be able to do.
Right.
So that's kind of what therapeutic riding is.
Yeah. And Alex is joining us today. Hey, Alex. She's a normal viewer of Friday with Fran. So it's nice that you found us today on this crossover event.
Hi, Alex.
I just want to say too that, that's where you and I met many, yes, many years ago. was we were volunteering at a local therapeutic writing center. And then I stopped having the ability to go out there and help. And so we kind of lost touch with each other. And then it was someone from there told me that you had had the stroke. And so I went to visit you at the rehabilitation center. And now, you know, we just sort of picked up where we had left off. And
yeah,
we're just talking to each other constantly now.
Yes. Isn't it funny how God causes our paths to cross and intertwine, and then occasionally we wander, but then he brings people back into our lives. Isn't that so neat?
Yeah. And I will absolutely echo what Fran says about the therapeutic writing. It's not only that the one that we volunteered in, but I have been to several others, and it's just an incredible, incredible experience what can happen when a person is on a horse. I mean, at the place where we volunteered, we had kids speak for the first time. We had
someone walk
for the first time. We had people who, similar to Fran, were able at one time, and then something happened that caused it not to be as fluid for them. And so they, you know, they maybe walk to their horse with a walker, or they used a wheelchair to get to their horse. But then after the riding of the horse, they could walk a little bit with, you know, out as much support. We've had kids who had zero core muscle strength and needed, you know, sidewalkers and all kinds of support. And now they sit up tall on the horse all by themselves. And it's truly beautiful. If you are in need of services, look for therapeutic riding centers. Even if you have to drive for an hour, I think it's probably worth it. You will likely be very amazed at the results.
And how many of you who have joined us, if you just let us know in your comments, have you ridden a horse before? Have you had opportunity to feel the freedom that a horse can give you? Let us know.
Okay. Keep going about your story.
Okay. Oh, but I just realized as I was sharing and then you were sharing, it came to mind. I haven't told people if I can walk or if I'm in a wheelchair.
This is true. You have not.
But guess what?
Are you going to keep us in suspense?
I'm sitting in a wheelchair right now, but I can walk with a walker.
It's incredible.
And with the help of a Becker Stance Control CAFO, which is a knee, ankle, foot orthotic.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I'm glad you had great experiences there too, Alex.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And, but this is the coolest part. Okay. Wait, let me go back.
Okay.
I got to tell you. So I can walk with, I walk with a rollerator, you know, I have to laugh, and I can say this because I use it. So, okay. You know, the walkers that have the wheels on all the feet, They call them rollerators.
Okay.
I used to call them granny chairs because they had the seat and people would sit on them and the grannies would sit on them. But
right.
Guess what? Now I sit on them too, so I can. But it's the best thing for me because I used to use, you know, the silver walkers that have just the wheel in the front?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was horrible for me because I would get going and I would get going too fast. And I wouldn't move it fast enough. And so it would like form cement in the ground and not move. And I would flip over the front of it. I don't know how many times I fell over the front of my walker. So someone suggested a rollerator and it's been the greatest thing. But I do use a power wheelchair to keep up with my friends on bikes. And I go on bike rides with them. Or when I just want to go, it does pretty well all terrain, my power wheelchair. It's given me so much freedom. On Facebook the other day, it came up a memory that I had just gotten it 4 years ago.
Okay.
So it's such a blessing and it can go a really long time. I've gone on 15-mile bike ride with people. I can't keep up with them as fast because it only goes about 6.5 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But that they circle back and they go further down, and then, but it's cool. So I still feel the wind in my face, and where I live, I have the beauty of just living a few blocks away from the country. Mm-hmm. And so then I can just zoom out in the country and zoom up and down the country roads. I just got to watch out for crazy drivers and farmers that are farming their fields, because they don't see you as well.
Right. Yeah. And at this time,
you're not expecting a wheelchair.
Right. Exactly. And at this time of the year, the big farm equipment is out in the fields, the big combines and aerators and the things that take up the entire road when they're right. driving down the road, whether it's a one lane or a two lane.
Yes. Hence why I'm not out in my chair and I'm walking in town now.
Yeah. Good
idea. I do use wisdom occasionally. I don't always use it, but occasionally. Yes.
That's good. That's good. At least you use it once in a while. So you had three goals after your stroke. You wanted to drive, you wanted to walk, and you wanted to work. Okay. So you've already told us that you at some point have reached that goal. It wasn't as quickly as you wanted to be able to walk, but you've reached that one.
Yes.
So let's talk about the other two goals.
The working goal, well, I've reached it, but I haven't reached it. I was never able to return to the jobs that I had because there was no way I could safely do what I was doing previously. But I'm volunteering in multiple different areas, and I'm able to do what I love and have passion for because I can't work.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say I've maybe reached that goal in a roundabout way.
Yeah, I think you reached it. You just weren't real specific when you made the goal. You said you wanted to work. You didn't, you know, say, well, back at the jobs that I'd had or in this yes. capacity or in this way. And so, yeah, I mean, I'll let you tell about some of the things that you volunteer with if you would like to. But I mean, you're a productive member. And I think kind of at the base of you wanting to be able to work again was wanting to be a contributing, productive member of society.
Yes, I would say you're correct. I'm really involved with my church. And so I do multiple things there. And then I'm involved with Special Olympics. I still can coach and volunteer and help out. In fact, we have area games coming up on Church Day.
Oh.
Yeah.
What are the events this time?
It's, my daughter chose not to compete. So I'm just coaching another athlete. He's a long distance runner.
Okay.
You know him. You've had him on hashtag No Limits. Oh. I guess I could say his name, right?
I'm sure Alex wouldn't mind.
So yes, Alex, I'm still coach him. And so it's really humbling to say I coach him when in fact he's been to national games and he has done so much. He ran cross country in college. And so, but he still wants me to be his coach. So.
That's
get
awesome.
To do that. Yeah.
And yeah. Then, so if you haven't seen the episode then, and at the time of the episode where Alex was on, he was competing at the college level, but he had not made it to nationals yet. So if you go back and watch the hashtag No Limits episode with Alex Hegan, you'll learn more about his experiences in grade school and high school and college. And I've been wanting to have him back since he was on the nationals team because he actually did quite well. And I would like to have him on. And
he just got an award as well.
Oh, he did.
From college, he just got an award.
Oh, I did not know that.
A very big award.
Okay.
So I think
there we go. I need to reach out and find it. Yeah, get him back on. Yep.
So then I did do some time with therapeutic writing. And now a big thing that I've been doing is Operation Christmas Child, which is where you fill the shoe boxes. So that's kind of taking a lot of time. But can I tell you my newest passion?
Yes, but hold that thought.
Oh, yeah, I got to go back to my other goals, right? We got to finish.
Right, because how are you getting to all of these places that you're doing all of this work?
Well, that's the thing. I'm driving. And I'm allowed to.
Right.
I'm not just doing it under the radar. So,
which is good. That's a good point, actually.
Yeah. So I'm going to follow the rules. I'm going to follow the law. So it's been amazing how God has restored that to me and allowed me to drive. So
yeah.
I have no modifications because my weak side is the non-gas pedal side. Yeah.
So it's your left side that is the weak side and it's your right side that is your driving side.
Right. Do you think Do you think this is time where I should talk about maybe how my stroke has affected me?
Well, I think you have a little bit. You've talked about it in the sense that you had certain limitations and you've busted through each of those limitations absolutely. I think
I was thinking about that one thing that
the whole numbers thing.
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't do numbers.
Yeah.
They something caused them to be scrambled in my brain. And so numbers and sequencing and time no longer I no longer can communicate it in the way you do, Shelley. Mm-hmm. And everybody else. But I'm grateful that I have a whole tribe of individuals that have learned my language.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you brought it up because I was going to mention it that for anybody who might have been wondering why you were holding up the number of fingers. And then I would tell you the number of fingers that you were holding up. And that's why, because that stroke. And also, you didn't mention you've had how many concussions?
Oh, a bunch.
Yeah. And so those
are
also
some really serious concussions. Yeah.
Yeah. So between the stroke, between the stroke and all the concussions, your brain has the math part. And that was something that you were very strong in ability before. So
I used to do math puzzles for fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting that that's the part of the brain that was attacked, kind of, I guess. I know you're not my child frame, but I'm so proud of the fact that you have accomplished so much.
Oh, thank you. It's because of where God has healed me and pushed me in the people he has allowed to be in my life. And to support me. And I consider you one of those people. So thank you.
Oh, now you're going to make her cry. So what's the new exciting thing that I made you hold off on telling us about?
My newest adventure, what I absolutely love to do. And people look at me and go, you do that on your own? Guess what it is?
I think I know. But I'm not going to say it. Camping?
It's camping. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about camping in a travel trailer or an RV.
Yeah.
I'm talking about tent camping. I love to tent camp. It is so fun. And now that I have a brand new sleeping bag, it was my Christmas wish list. It's a zero rated sleeping bag, so it's rated to zero.
Okay.
And it actually did work because I've already gone camping this season and it got, into freezing temperatures and I was snug as a bug in a rug, comfortable. So,
and kind of unexpectedly that the weather turned that way. Yeah.
And then, it's kind of like the weather we're having right now. It's
right. Yeah.
Why we're wearing multiple layers.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's really not that cold outside right now. I suppose that's a relative term because if I tell the the people in the South what temperature we are, they'll say, yeah, that's cold. But if I say this to the people in the North, they're like, that's not cold. So our temperature right now, according to my computer, is 58 degrees, which is not exactly the temperature that we have been having.
Wind chill feels like of.
Oh, do we have a wind chill? I don't know. Let me see.
Yeah, well, I thought we did because the wind was gusting.
We probably do. It just doesn't tell me that directly on my screen. So, but that would make sense why I'm so cold, because there's a wind chill factor.
Yeah. So anyway.
The tent camping. So, yeah, she actually sets up the tent all by herself.
I put the little spikies in the ground and only fall occasionally. But that's only because I'm bending upside down. If I take my time and I do it right and I hold on to my adaptive equipment, there's no way I'm going to fall. But there are times I get impatient. So that's on me.
I mean, honestly, yes, it's on you. But the whole idea of tent camping, even for me, who has no limitations or struggles to doing it, I still don't do it. I still would rather camp in a camper.
Really?
Yeah. I'm just, when I was younger, tent camping was okay. It still wasn't my favorite thing. I mean, we have a 6-person. We have a 6-person tent, this mini person tent. Okay. And then we have a smaller tent for like 2 people, I think. And we hardly ever, I think we've used them maybe twice, two times. And
so the reason I didn't ask you to come tent camping with me, huh?
No.
I have a campsite ready to go too. You're more than welcome to throw a tent because I can have more tents.
Yeah, I don't know. I've not had a ton of success camping. One of the times that we were camping, we had very torrential rains that flooded our campsite, and that kind of did it for me because I was in a tent at that time, and the water was high enough that I even had a little cot that was maybe, you know, keeping me a few inches off the ground, and the water was still coming through. So I'm like, yeah, no, okay, I'm done with this. I don't want to have this. I my whole thing about not swimming. So,
yes.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, I'll just stay in a camper from now on if I'm going to do this.
Okay. I understand. But for me, let me tell you about some of the things I enjoy and why I find it so, so neat. Not only am I setting my tent up by myself, I cook my own meals over the fire, I start my own fires, and I don't use lighter fluid. I just do it with natural little fibers and things. Wow. And because I don't want to add to, anyway, I prefer to start it as naturally as possible. But I find that sitting in my tent and listening to the owls at night talking back and forth, or listening to the birds, or catching the sunrise or the sunset, is so peaceful and so refreshing. And I come away from camping, yes, I'm physically tired, but I am so refreshed and refueled and rebooted and ready to face that which the world puts before me then. Like, I even went kayaking the other day when I was camping.
The water's pretty chilly still.
Well, I wasn't planning on flipping.
I know, but if you had, the water's pretty chilly.
Yes, it would have been chilly, but I always wear a life jacket because the thing I've discovered is my leg that doesn't work, it floats. It's very buoyant. And it falls upside down in the water, so I'm face first, and I can't get back up unless someone flips me back up. So there's no way I would kayak without a life vest.
Right. And honestly, you shouldn't anyway. I mean, that's what all the water people say. Right. Anytime you're on the water, you should have a life jacket on because you just never know what's going to happen.
Right. And like, even when I went in the John boat, another time, I wore a life jacket. Not everyone chose to, but I chose to wear one.
Right. Yeah. It's weird. I can't swim. Very afraid of drowning, but I love to be on the water.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yep. I very much enjoy going out on boats and, but people tend to be uncomfortable around me because I do wear the life jacket and people just tend not to wear them most of the time.
Hmm.
So I don't get invited on boats after a first or second time usually. And that's the only thing I can think of. Maybe it's my personality. I have no idea, but I'm blaming it on the life jacket.
I have no idea. If I ever go out on a boat, I will invite you.
Okay. I'll go there. I won't go camping.
It means I have to have a boat.
Right.
So, but that's my passion and that's my joy. And people tend to look at me and go, you can camp. And that's the beauty of it. Anybody can do anything to a point. If you have enough modifications, enough resources to help you out, don't put those limitations. And I realized, as I said previously about my daughter, I did put some limitations on my own kiddos, and I thought I was pushing them to reach their fullest potential this whole time as I was helping them grow up my son, he lives in a group home, a single person group home. I know that sounds really weird, but they have those because he just did not adjust well to being in a group home with multiple people. And then, but now he goes out shopping and he gets his groceries. And he goes to his doctors and he's able to do all those things with staff assistance. And I don't have to be there for every little thing.
Right.
So he and I can do the fun things together. And like going out to eat or going to the park or going for a walk together.
Yeah. And you get to be friends as adults, which many adult children and their parents are.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm becoming friends with my daughter. I get to talk to her about how her day was at work and what she found interesting and what was a struggle and is there anything I can do for her? And she in turn asks me, what did I do for the day? And that's a big step for her to remember to ask that because that's not something socially that she really normally remembers because she just normally focuses on herself because that's part of her special needs.
Mm-hmm. So do you want to talk a little bit about your son and daughter? Because most of this conversation, and either way is fine with me, has been about you. So we can continue talking about you or we can continue, you know, we can talk about the kids a little bit.
Let's talk about the kids.
Okay.
What do we want to talk about? Help me here.
Well, so what is each of their diagnoses or what was their eligibility for special education? And just kind of talk about some of the highs and lows of, well, I guess the lows being the limits that you feel maybe some of the school members or doctors or society put on them that they are now doing that they were thought that they would not be able to do.
Okay, we'll start with my son because he's the oldest.
Okay.
And so he was born. And I knew right away there was a difference. I knew there was a possibility before he was born that he would have a difference. But they waited till they did the blood test. And so he was in the NICU and I had gone out to eat and I came back with my husband of the time. And the doctor sits down and he goes, well, the karyotype is back. And he pauses and he goes, and he has Down syndrome. And he delivers it like a death sentence.
Hmm.
And I was kind of like, what? is this a problem? Is he dying? Does he need surgery right away? Cause that's right. What I went in my head, and he's like, no, he has Down syndrome. Okay. But in the same sense, when I had some alone time, I did cry a little bit. And I did grieve a little bit because it was a death of a dream. Mm-hmm. Because we all have dreams for our children. I think it would be a lie for someone to say they never dreamt of something for their child, especially before they're born. And right. But so it was a death of a dream. But it was also the birth of many dreams. And I just realized in that moment that I was going to help him reach whatever fullest potential that would be and not allow society to place those limitations upon him. And so he played regular t-ball. He didn't need swimming lessons because my parents had put a pool in and he learned to swim like a fish. So he figured it out all on his own. And then we discovered he really knew how to swim because he took his swimsuit off and jumped back in the pool.
Oh.
And so, you know, the ones with the little floaties in them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, he took it off and he was in the pool with, in his birthday suit, swimming around like a fish. And it was like, well, I guess he's okay. And so there was a limitation that society would have placed on him. But he burst through that one all on his own. He played t-ball, and it helped his teammates. He played regular t-ball. Helped his teammates realize, okay, yeah, he's different, but we can still cheer for him, and he's still going to give you a high five. And I remember he was running around the bases, and a coach would run around with him because he tended to get a little distracted when he was running because he would say hi to everybody and he had to talk to everybody. But so, and he was short. Because with Down syndrome, they have shorter appendages. Mm-hmm. And so he ended up getting tangled up with his coach. And the next thing you know is you see this dust ball of them rolling through the t-ball diamond. And then they get up and then my son just continues running and keeps running the bases. And he ran all the way around and the coach is on the ground at that point. And that's when they realized maybe they didn't need to run with him because he was figuring it out to some degree.
Right.
But he burst through those barriers, and these same teammates, he played basketball with them in grade school.
Mm-hmm.
And he played on the same team and they let him line up. They knew he loved the high five line at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And that he didn't like it when the whole team would come running up. Mm-hmm. So, well, he liked the huddle, but he didn't like it on the court when all of a sudden everybody came running towards him. He would run off the court. So they gave him a space, but he got to play. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
But then also through that, he's done Special Olympics, which helps them reach their highest potential.
Mm-hmm.
He did track, softball, basketball, and bowling.
Wow.
Yeah. As soon as he could until he's moved into a group home. And now he plays on a challenger softball team.
So, what's that?
It's an organization challenger that does provide sports.
Okay.
And
so it's all adult age people?
Yeah. And he plays it up north of us on the next interstate up.
Oh, okay.
So.
Cool.
Yeah. So, and he's pushed barriers where I didn't even realize. Like, I thought, oh, he only liked Barney and Caillou and VeggieTales.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's all I ever gave him to watch and to do. And it kept him safe, but he really likes age-appropriate things, but he doesn't quite know how to handle those age-appropriate things, and he reenacts them. So that's not always the greatest thing. So we have to be wise and allow it in snippets and limit some of the things.
Right.
But also not only just give him the Caillou and the Barney.
Is he, I know one of his favorite characters is Spider-Man. Was that from home or did that happen? Excuse me. Or did that happen when he moved into his group home?
That was from home. He reenacts it, and sometimes it's not appropriate. So when that happens, we have to take it away. But he still likes Spider-Man. Oh, and you want to know one of the coolest things that happened for him?
Yes, please.
When when COVID happened,
mm-hmm.
and this was not cool. It was 284 days from the time.
Right.
We were separated till the time he and I hugged each other for the first time. So that was a really long time to be separated, but they said it was for his safety. So his birthday fell during this time. So we had a birthday parade for him. Mm-hmm. And a Spider-Man came to it. A horse came to it. A hearse came to it.
Which a motorcycle was in it. I want to explain the hearse because people don't know. I mean, people probably know what a hearse is, and they're probably thinking,
There was a car group that came in. They had a hearse that they have as part of their car group that has skeletons and stuff hanging out of it. So it drove through as well. So it was 49 vehicles and a horse. They took the time to celebrate his birthday. And I think if that doesn't say breaking limits and reaching out beyond, I don't know what it does. I just think that's so cool.
Yeah.
Especially in the time when we were all, yes, and you came in it, and mm-hmm. it was just so neat and powerful.
Yeah.
I think on it sometimes.
Yeah. Yep. That was a good day.
So
talk a little bit about your daughter, because we're getting closer to the time we have to wrap up.
Okay. So I had my daughter with the thoughts that she would be there to help my son get through life. And my daughter had other thoughts, and she has her own unique needs, and she needed her own way and needed to navigate her own way through life on her own. And so she has... Have I shared them all? I guess it really doesn't matter. She doesn't mind. Autism and oppositional defiance disorder and ADHD and bipolar disorder and anxiety. So that seems like a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And if you let the label define you, it can limit you.
Yes.
But thankfully, she could care less about all the labels. And she just does her own thing. And I mean, she's so creative. She makes these little bracelets with rubber bands.
Oh, yeah.
And she's taught herself how to do all of it. And she goes on YouTube and learns how to do all these little nifty keen things. And so she sees it. She wants to know how. She takes the time and she does it and she learns it. And so I would say a really key word to sum her up is persistent.
Mm-hmm.
I think she, she's in schools. So in the beginning, my son was getting early intervention. And so my daughter benefited from being there through all of his intervention, because they're only all the calendars and then a little bit apart. So they're really close in age.
Right. They're like 14 months apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we noticed that she wasn't talking, but she picked up all the sign that we were trying to teach my son. and she wouldn't put her hands down. And when when we would do the interactions with her on the ground, she didn't want her hands down and she didn't want things touching her. And so that keyed us in. So it was really a blessing that my son was getting early intervention, because it keyed us in to things that my daughter was having some deficits and struggles in. Mm-hmm. And then in school, she struggled making friends. And that's kind of persisted through life. But I think it's just so neat. I look at her and this persistence of her, she finds somebody that she connects with, and she's okay. She's okay with it.
Yeah.
Where you and I might feel left out and lonely, she's okay. She's like, I got this friend. I'm good.
Yep.
You haven't seen this friend in a really long time. Do you want to set up a play date, or you want to do? No, we're good. We'll get together someday.
Mm-hmm.
And she is. She's okay. And she teaches me so much in her being able to just be who she is.
Yeah.
And then
acceptance of oneself is huge.
Yes. And then she helped start the therapeutic writing program. Both of my kiddos were the original writers. And she was the beginning writer to write independently there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. She was. And she was the guinea pig for us for safety demonstrations. She knew that she had to shovel a stall before she could ride a horse. She learned the importance of hard work and what hard work paid off. And she has excelled in Special Olympics greatly. She does the pentathlon, which is this many events.
5 events, yeah.
The running long jump, the 100 meter, the 800 meter, the high jump, in the shot put.
Wow.
Yeah. And she's gone to state in it and for many years in a row. And she's done volleyball and softball, and she plays on a girls' basketball team, and she did swimming a time.
Okay.
So
not a big swimmer though, huh?
No, she actually swam on a regular swim team too.
Oh.
On the next town up, their swim uh-huh. team. She swam on that for a couple of all the calendars.
Uh-huh.
But she didn't like the cold water very much. See, my parents' pool is heated.
Ah.
And so she had never experienced a cold pool until swim team. And I used to have to throw her into the pool to get her to start, because she would stand on the side and wouldn't get in.
Yeah, well, I don't blame her there. I'm not a big fan of cold water either. So. These people who do the, speaking of the Special Olympics, that do the cold water challenges and the polar plunges to raise money. Yeah, I will support that monetarily, but I cannot get in the water.
I've thought about it, but I'm like, I think I might like trip up in the water and like get stuck or something.
Yeah. So we have just a couple of minutes, and you sent me a picture recently. Well, actually, I think it was a link. And I think this is another limit that you would like to bust through. And I know that this is something that I want to do. And so
oh, yes.
I haven't asked you this, so I'm going to ask you on air so that you have to be stuck with your answer. I think it would be a cool Friday with Fran episode for us to do that live someday. What do you think?
That would be awesome. Are we going to tell them what that is?
Oh, I guess. Just, Mom, cover your ears for a minute. Because you're not going to want to hear that for either one of us.
I don't know what Alex is going to say. We'll see.
Okay. You want to tell them or am I?
You're going to tell them.
All right. We're going to jump out of a perfectly safe airplane, but we'll have parachutes and other people helping us. So doing what's called tandem skydiving.
Yeah. I was wondering if you got that.
Yeah, I did. And I was like,
Well, we had talked of it prior.
Right. Yeah. So I wasn't sure if you were like, hey, let's go do this right now. And I should have asked you, but I don't remember. I saw it. And then like, you know how we are on Friday with Fran, how we're like squirrel. And yeah, there was a squirrel at that moment. And so then I forgot about it until just now, actually. But yeah, that was the thought that I'd had when I saw it, was like, is she trying to say this is going to be our next Friday with Fran episode?
I thought it'd be interesting.
Alex says we're both nuts. Well, we do act like squirrels.
Certifiably so, but
yeah,
at least I am, but that's okay.
Just don't tell me when it's going to happen. You can tell me all about it when it's over, says Mom. Yeah, it was something that I wanted to do all the calendars ago, because I turned a special age and Violet turned a special age. And I was like, oh, wouldn't this be cool if we did this together as a celebration of those special ages? And she really wasn't on board with it, but she was going to go ahead and do it just because she was like, I don't really know if I want to do it. And then I was like, if you're not excited about it, like I'm excited about it, then I don't want to put you through it, because I don't want you to worry about it. I don't want you to, whatever, feel like you have to go through with it, even if you change your mind about wanting to. And then when I tried to book it, because I was thinking, oh, I want to book it like in the fall when the leaves are changing and how much more beautiful that would make the scenery. Mm-hmm. But then they're not open in the fall because, in our fall we get cold weather and that's not really a great time to be skydiving. So, yeah. And then I had booked another time. And then the weather was, I did that one up in Milwaukee with some other friends, and that one didn't pan out either. So we'll have to figure it out and do it.
Yeah. I think it'll be fun.
I do too. Very much so.
As long as I can wear my glasses.
Well, yeah, I think you just put like the goggles over your glasses. I think they have goggles big enough to go over glasses.
Okay.
Because yeah, if I don't have my glasses on, I'm not going to be able to see what I'm supposed to see. So part
of the problem. And then it will be fun.
Right. Exactly. So a couple minutes left, a couple of the little times around the clock. So anything else you want to share before we have to say goodbye?
Yeah. I have discovered that through this journey of breaking through barriers that I'm not meant to do it alone, that I've been gifted with a group of people that support me wholeheartedly, challenge me, hold me accountable, and push me. And I think it's important that each of us in life has someone or someone's like that, and to realize that we're not meant to do it alone.
That's a good point. And Mom says that she thinks we don't want our glasses. I mean, she doesn't want us to see the ground rushing at us. So if we don't have our glasses on, then we won't see the ground rushing at us.
That is true.
Yeah, I think that's a very valid point. And that I think that is a very good point to end on today. I appreciate you coming on and being with me here. I very much enjoyed it. It was kind of like Friday with Fran, but a little bit different.
It was a little bit different, though.
Yeah. Well, it was all about you.
I know. I didn't like that so much.
I know. You're very humble. You don't like spotlight at all. So, but again, thank you for coming on. Thank you, Alex and Mom and anyone else who was watching. Thank you for the comments and the feedback. It always makes the show a lot more fun if there's feedback from the guests. So, I mean, from the audience. So if you're ever watching, please comment something, even if it's just a hashtag live, to let us know that you're watching. And there's my buddy Cooper. He's like, hey, you just woke me up. What are you doing? All right. Tune in next week. I'm going to have what's called the Core Collaborative on, and that's a group of teachers. And they're going to talk about some of the great things that they're doing. And make sure to check out Friday with Fran, not this week, but next week. And we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelley Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelley Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelley Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shelleykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shelleykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.